More now on what David Kay, the arms inspector, had to say about Iraq intelligence and weapons of mass destruction. Yesterday's New York Times included this paragraph. Dr. Kay said the basic problem with the way the CIA tried to gauge Iraq's weapons programs is now painfully clear. For 5 years, the agency lacked its own spies in Iraq who could provide credible information. In that article, Dr. Kay went on to say that in the 1990s, the U.S. could look at satellite photos of suspicious sites or intercept Iraqi communications about a site and then direct United Nations weapons inspectors on the ground to check the site out. In 1998, he said the weapons inspectors were gone from Iraq, and so, according to Dr. Kay, it was Washington's ability to understand what was going on there with unconventional weapons programs. Well, retired Lieutenant General William Odom used to direct the National Security Agency. He's now with the Hudson Institute. He's written a book called Fixing Intelligence. General Odom, Dr. Kay's point, or at least one of them, seemed to be that an eye in the sky, sort of thing that the National Security Agency does, is great if you can get a human on the ground to confirm what the eye is, thinks it's seeing. I mean, does that mean that without human intelligence, without spies, our government's sense of what's going on in hostile or potentially hostile countries is really too imperfect to be relied on for deciding whether to go to war, let's say?
You have to have all three kinds of collection: human collection, signals collection, and imagery collection. Indeed, I do think that we probably were short on human sources in Iraq, not only in Iraq, but throughout that region. When you ask why, I don't think there has ever been the intensity of focus on Iraq there was on the Soviet Union. Add that to it being a very difficult target to penetrate, and it's not all that surprising that we were short on human.
Is there, do you think, an inherent bias in intelligent analysis that anyone in the intelligence community would rather say, with hindsight, okay, I thought Iraq had more chemical weapons than it turned out to have, or I thought the Soviet army was more powerful than we do now, rather than saying, I didn't think Japan was going to attack Pearl Harbor? Is the bias always going to be in favor of sounding the alarm rather than understating it?
Most of the times, in my experience, we've understated the alarm. The intelligence runs into two kinds of biases. There are ethnocentric biases that we get from our own education and projection of a view of the world that we hold onto others. Then there's the bias of the demands of the decision maker, be he political or military commander, and it takes a pretty strong intelligence officer to stand up and deliver information that's not acceptable to that political viewpoint. I think that's just the way governments have worked and will work.
I want to ask you about something that might qualify as you would say, an ethnocentric bias. I mean, here are some of the things that Dr. Kay said the CIA didn't figure out. One of them was the delusional nature of Saddam Hussein writing novels as war was approaching. Another one was the corruption of Iraqi scientists telling Saddam Hussein they had a program to develop weapons, getting money for it, and then not doing anything. These are, in effect, irrational behaviors, and I wonder, are intelligence analysts equally likely to see paranoia or lunacy as what's going on the other side, or are they always going to superimpose some rational construct over it?
The tendency in the American intelligence community is to impose rationality. The point you made about the bureaucratic demand for resources in Iraq and how they were siphoned off away from the program, and Saddam was misled about exactly how much progress he was having in that regard. I think that's a fascinating insight. You do have to have people on the inside who are good, what I call comparative political analysts, who can understand those informal political mechanisms for allocating resources. If you have an appreciation of those, you can do quite well, but I think it's the exception when we master those.
Just before I let you go, we seem to be coming down to, if indeed there are no weapons of mass destruction, we seem to be coming down to three possibilities: good intelligence, but bad use of it; bad intelligence, but good earnest use of it; or bad intelligence and bad use of it. Which one do you think it was?
I would take the third, unambiguously.
Bad intelligence abused.
Yeah.
General Odom, thanks for talking with us once
again. Thank you.
William Odom, retired Lieutenant General, who used to direct the National Security Agency. He's most recently the author of Fixing Intelligence, and he works at the Hudson Institute in Washington, D.C.